بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. This is the fourth part on this topic of the rejectionist Shia. And we're still in the historical account, part two. In the previous part, we talked about the historical account from the rejectionist Shia views. And we came to know that there are three views. What's the first view? What's the first view with respect to the origin of tashayyu? That it was before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we refuted that. The second, that's the first one. What was the second view? That it was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself who implanted the seed of tashayyu, and also this was refuted. The third one, and it is that tashayyu began after the time of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but when? At the time of Ali, that's right. During the battle of Al-Jamal. And also this was responded to. So these were the three major views concerning the origin of tashayyu. Now, again, this was from the Shia resources. Now, under this part, we're going to talk about the opinions of the non-Shia regarding the origin of tashayyu. The first saying is that the tashayyu began after the death of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because there were some who held the opinion that Ali radiallahu anhu is more entitled to the imam. This opinion was mentioned by some from the past and some contemporaries, and from them is the historian Ibn Khaldun and the historian Ahmed Amin and some Orientalists. And this saying is based upon what is reported by some, that there was, quote, an opinion giving precedence to the relatives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in imama after his death. The discussion of this opinion. So therefore, this opinion, as you have heard, depends upon the saying that precedence is to be given to the relatives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in imama, in leadership after his death. There is no doubt if there were some who held to the opinion that Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu is more entitled to the imama, and that imama should be in the relatives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then there was another opinion which says that the leadership should have been gone to, should have gone to Sa'd bin Ubada, and that Imama should have continued in the Ansar, and therefore there is no proof. Listen, there is no proof in all of this for the emergence of a particular sect or a particular group. Why? The having different opinions is something naturally expected. And in fact, it is from what? From the system of shura, of consultation in Islam. It is necessitated by shura, by consultation. So, they were in one majlis, one circle, with different opinions. But they did not leave until they were in agreement. And thus, this cannot be taken as a dispute. As Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned in his book, Minhaj al-Sunnah, Volume 1, page 36. And they all came under the obedience. All of them. The obedience to whom? To Abi Bakr in that meeting, radiallahu anhu, and Ali, radiallahu anhu, heard and obeyed his command and gave allegiance to Abu Bakr in front of all the witnesses, and then he moved along to join in the expedition of Bani Hanif. And they were all on harmony, united on the word, exerting the obedience to their leader. In addition, had this opinion, stating the precedence to the relatives of the Prophet ﷺ in the role of Imam, had it been considered as the seed and the nucleus of tashayyu, then this would have been apparent during the time of Abu Bakr and Umar. You see that? However, it is only an opinion. If proven and affirmed, then it is like the rest of the other opinions which were raised during the meeting of As-Saqifa. However, when the agreement was unanimous upon Abu Bakr, then the complete allegiance had been materialized, took place, and the world was united, and the opinion was from them all in agreement. And the position of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali radiallahu anhu negates the continuity of such opinions or their existence amongst the companions afterwards, because we know from the statement of Ali radiallahu anhu in Al-Kufa, when he said the best of this ummah after its prophet is Abu Bakr, then Umar. And we talked about this in the last session. So how then could others from the companions, see other than what Ali himself saw? You understand now? How could then other companions see what Ali did not see in himself? And the term Shia had no mention or existence during the time of Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman, nor Uthman. So how come then we say that it originated after the death of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam? In fact, the saying that there was a group who held to the opinion of giving precedence to Ali in Imama is not historically established. Rather, it is based upon that it is based upon a narration of Al-Ya'qubi in his book of history, and there he mentioned that a group from amongst them, Salman, Abu Dharr, Ammar, Al-Miqdad, did not join in giving the allegiance to Abu Bakr and were inclined to Ali. This is in his book Tariqh Al-Ya'qubi, volume 2, 124. However, the narrations of Al-Ya'qubi and the like by Al-Mas'udi should be cautiously dealt with, because they are inclined towards the rejectionists. Al-Qadi ibn Arabi, Al-Qadi Abu Bakr ibn al-Arabi, he said, don't listen to a historian except for At-Tabari. Other than that, it is, he said, red death. And in Al-Mas'udi, he said, إِنَّهُ مُبْتَدِعٌ مُحْتَلْ. He is an innovator, a deceptive one. This is in the great classical book by Al-Qadi Abu Bakr ibn al-Arabi. Not the infamous Ibn Arabi, the mystic. The book is Al-Awasim min al-Qawasim, page 248 to 249. And in addition, At-Tabari, rahimahullah, narrates with chain of narrations, so it is easy to check the narrations and verify them. Furthermore, some of the shuyukh of the Shia themselves agreed to this opinion that the origin of Shiaism did not start after the death of the Prophet ﷺ. And this is a matter which we spoke about early and which we may deal with later. So therefore, to point out that even assuming that there was an opinion, there were also other opinions. But once the agreement was made in the meeting of As-Saqifa, the allegiance was given to Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Umar, and Ali rather, was there, and he gave the allegiance, and the kalima, the word, was in agreement. Alhamdulillah. So this is the first saying by those who are non-Shia historians or writers. The second opinion, that the tashayyu' to Ali began with the death of Uthman. May Allah be pleased with both of them. Ibn Hazm, rahimahullah, said, then Uthman took the reign and stayed 12 years. And in his death, the dispute occurred. And the matter of the Rafida began. This is in Ibn Hazm's book, Al-Fasl, volume 2, page 8. The same saying was said by other scholars and researchers, like Sheikh Uthman bin Abdullah بن عبد الله الحنفي. And also some even Orientalists hold to this opinion. Now, the one who, according to this opinion, that with the death of Uthman, the Rafida, the Tashayyu' began. And the one who implanted this seed is Abdullah bin Saba' al-Yahudi, the Jew Abdullah bin Saba'. Who is Abdullah bin Saba'? Abdullah bin Saba' is the head of this sect known as As-Saba'iyya. And this sect used to attribute divinity to Ali. In addition, holding to the creed that he will return. And also, it makes takfir of the Sahaba. Abdullah bin Saba originally is from Yemen, and he was a Jew who claimed Islam on the apparent, then migrated to spread his fitna to the west of Arabia, Al-Hijaz, then to Al-Basra in Iraq, then to Al-Kufa in Iraq. And he entered Damascus during the time of Uthman radiallahu anhu. The people of Damascus expelled him. So he left to Egypt. And in Egypt, he proclaimed his innovation. The news of Ibn Saba', Abdullah bin Saba', and his creed and his conspiracies are abundant in the books of sects and in the books of men and in the books of history, from the Sunnah as well as from the Shia references. If I would mention to you, I would mention to you a long list. Just to illustrate that Al-Ash'ari mentioned it, Al-Multi mentioned it, Al-Baghdadi, Al-Shahristani, Al-Isfariini, Al-Razi, Ibn al-Murtada, Ibn Hajar, Ibn Asakir, Al-Sam'ani, Ibn al-Athir, Al-Maqdisi, Tariq al-Tabari, Ibn Kathir, Al-Bidaya wal-Nihaya, Ibn Khaldun. And from the Shia resources, Al-Nashi' al-Akbar, Masail al-Imama, page 22-23, Al-Qummi in his Maqalat, page 20, Al-Nubakhti in his Firaq al-Shia, page 22, and Al-Kashi mentioned many narrations regarding Ibn Saba' in his book, Rijal al-Kashi, in more than one place. Ibn Abi al-Hadid, Sharh Nahj al-Balagha, and others. Abdullah bin Saba' began his movement during the latter part of the reign of Uthman. Many researchers of the past and the contemporary ones hold that Ibn Saba' is the originator and establisher of the Shi'i sect and the first block in its foundation. Consider Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, who mentioned that Ibn Saba', Abdullah bin Saba', was the first to pronounce the infallibility creed regarding Ali, and that he, Ali, is textually mentioned to be the Khalifa, which is known as An-Nas, and that he, Abdullah bin Saba', intended to corrupt the deen of Islam as Paul corrupted the deen of Nasara This is mentioned in many places by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. Just to cite one, Majmu' al-Fatawa, volume 4, page 518. Similarly, Ibn al-Murtada in his book, Al-Maniyya wal-Amal, page 125. And from the contemporary ones, Abu Zahra, who mentioned that Abdullah bin Saba was the greatest taghut, and that he held the head of this sect who hated Islam and plotted to spoil it and spoil its people, and that he claimed the return of Ali, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam willed for Ali to be the Khalifa and called for that. And Abu Zahra mentioned that the fitna of Ibn Saba and his group was from the greatest fitan under its shade Shi'ism sprouted. Some of the Shia in our times, the rejectionists in our times, try to deny the existence of Abdullah bin Saba without any decisive proof. From them is Murtada al-Askari in his book Abdullah bin Saba, page 35. Not only that, some of the contemporary Shias claim that Abdullah bin Saba is Ammar bin Yasir. Claim that Abdullah bin Saba is Ammar bin Yasir. And this is Ali al-Wardi in his book Wa'ad al-Salatin, page 274. And he was imitated by another Shia known as Mustafa al-Shaybi in his book As-Silatu Bayna al-Tasawwufi wa al-Tashayyu, page 4041, and others. This claim is an attempt or a trick to declare the Shia to be innocent from the plot of the Jews. Not only that, it is even an attempt to give a legitimate claim for the rejection and to refute their opponents by refuting that the origin of Tashayyu goes to a Jew. However, the references of the past from Ahlus Sunnah and from the Shia as well are in agreement that Abdullah bin Saba was a reality and a historical character. So how could the contemporaries disagree on the agreement of the past researchers and historians? As to their saying is Abdullah bin Saba is Ammar bin Yasir, this is refuted intellectually and textually and historically. How could these false creeds be attached to Ammar bin Yasir? This is an insult to the companions, no doubt. We don't need to go further into the assertion that Abdullah bin Saba was a real figure, an historian figure, and that he had the greatest fitna under which the Shia rejectionist sect took of his creed or of its creed. However, for those who are more interested, then they should know that there are many excellent discussions on this matter that are present in our times from that is the thoroughly researched work under the title Abdullah bin Saba and his role in the fitna. And the work also of Dr. Ammar Talibi and Dr. Izzat Atiyah and others. So there is no need to continue with this more than what has been mentioned. Sufficient is to check some of the Shia quote unquote reliable references, meaning to them, taking by the approach which we took earlier in these topics, to refer to their references regarding these concepts and these false creeds, lest someone says, you people are just inventing things. So, why then we resort in this particular matter now to some of the references of the Shia, which are considered highly reliable by them? Because the negation of existence of Ibn Saba came from some elements of the Shia, so therefore refuting them by some of their reliable quote unquote works makes their claim fall apart. What does therefore the books of Shia say about Ibn Saba? Take for example Sa'd bin Abdullah al-Qummi, the sheikh of the sect, and it's considered, who is considered the faqih of the sect, as referred to by al-Najashi in his book Rijal al-Najashi, and who died in 229. He admits the existence of Ibn Saba. Al-Qummi admits the existence of Ibn Saba, and he mentions some of the names of the companions who collaborated with him in his view, and he calls his sect As-Saba'iyya. And they say that when we say that he mentioned some of his companions, so this needs to be corrected, and that he mentioned, Al-Qummi mentioned the existence of Ibn Saba and mentioned some of the names of his companions who collaborated with him. And he, Al-Qummi, considers that it is the first sect in Islam which was the first to excessively insult Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and the companions and disassociate themselves from them. And that he, Abdullah bin Saba, claimed that Ali commanded him to do so. End of quote from Al-Qummi. Then he mentioned that when the news reached Ali, he commanded that Abdullah bin Saba be killed. Then he abandoned that and then resorted to expelling him to Al-Mada'in. Not only that, Al-Qummi also relates from their scholars what he describes as Abdullah bin Saba was a Jew who then declared Islam and then gave allegiance to Ali, and he used to say while still a Jew that Musa alayhi salam bequeathed to you Sha'b al-Nun, and when he became acclaimed Islam, after the death of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the Messenger also willed the Khilafah for Ali. And that he, Abdullah bin Sabah, this is still the words of Al-Qummi, the Shia Al-Qummi, and that he, Abdullah bin Sabah, was the first to testify or say that the Imamah of Ali is a fard, and that he declared himself innocent from the other companions and made takfir of them. And then he continued saying, listening to this carefully, and from this those who oppose the Shia mention that the origin of al-Rafd, rejectionism, is taken from Judaism. This is in his book Al-Maqalat wal-Firaq, page 20. Then he mentioned that Abdullah bin Sabah, when he heard the news of Ali's death, he claimed that Ali did not die and that he will return. All of this is mentioned by Al-Qummi about Ibn Sabah. And the Qummi, with respect to the Shia, is a highly reliable and trustworthy in his news and so forth. And you can see how they elevate him to such position, meaning Al-Qummi, in their books by At-Tusi, the Fihrist by At-Tusi, and Jami' al-Ruwa by Al-Ardabili, or Ardabili, na'am. And the information that Al-Qummi provides to them is so important because it is old. And that they claim that he met their infallible Imam, known as Al-Hasan al-Askari, and took from him. As mentioned in Ibn Babawayh Al-Qummi, Ikmal al-Din, page 425-453. Also we mention here that another of their Shuyukh, An-Nubakhti, mentions Ibn Sabah and agrees with Al-Qummi in the same exact wording in his book. And An-Nubakhti is a trustworthy, reliable, as mentioned in the book of At-Tusi and Al-Zabili and Al-Abbas Al-Qummi and Al-Ha'iri, they refer to him as reliable. Not only that, their scholar Al-Kashi, and he is also a trustworthy one, who knows the news and men, as At-Tusi describes him, he mentioned 6 narrations concerning Ibn Sabah. And his book Rijal al-Kashi, which is the oldest of the Shia books that are reliable concerning the men of the Shia, all of these reports to them, reported by al-Kashi, that Ibn Sabah claimed the prophethood, and that he claimed that Amir al-Mu'mineen is Allah, and that Ali requested from him to make tawbah, from Ibn Sabah to make tawbah, but he didn't. And that Ali ended up burning him in fire. And that Al-Kashi mentions that the Shia Imams testify that Abdullah bin Sabah used to lie on Ali. And they cite a report to Ali bin al-Husayn cursing Abdullah bin Sabah. And also he agreed with Al-Qummi. that Abdullah bin Sabah was a Jew and claimed Islam and then gave allegiance to Ali, all what you heard earlier. And then he said, from here we understand that those who oppose the Shia claim that the origin of tashayyu' and rejection is taken from Judaism. This is the wording of Al-Kashi, which agrees with the wording of Al-Qummi and Nubukhti. And all of these six narrations came in the book of Rijalul Kashi, whom they consider to be one of the four references regarding the biographies of their men. Other books also, Shia books, mentioned Ibn Sabah. And the oldest may be is Kitab Masail al-Imama by Abdullah al-Nashi al-Akbar, who died in 293. And in Al-Mazdarani Muntaha al-Maqal, Al-Asrabadi Manhaj al-Maqal, Ibn Dawood al-Hali al-Tasturi, and the men of Tusi. The mention of Ibn Sabah came also in the most important and most comprehensive books of our contemporary times, known as Tanqih al-Maqal, volume 2, page 183, by their Sheikh Abdullah al-Mamqani. Some of their contemporary Shiuch even mentioned that regarding some of the Shia who denounced the existence of Ibn Sabah, they said, he said, وَعَلَىٰ كُلِّ حَالٍ, nevertheless, the man, meaning Ibn Sabah, existed, وَأَظْهَرَ الْغُلُوُ, and established excessiveness, even though some may doubt his character, and they think that it is an imaginable character. However, we have no doubt concerning his existence and his excessiveness. This is in his book Al-Shia fi Tariq. So therefore, negating Ibn Sabah by some Shia is belying their reliable scholars who affirmed the existence of Ibn Sabah and his role in planting the seed of rejection. Implicit in this also is the acknowledgement, whether they feel it or not, whether they acknowledge it or not, that the book of men that they refer to are not really that reliable as they claim it. What concerns us, irrespective of that, is the confession by so-called reliable of them that Ibn Sabah was the first to claim al-wasiyya li Ali, the bequest to Ali, and that Ali did not die, he will return, and that he was the one who denounced and insulted Abu Bakr al-Umar al-Uthman and the companions. This is important because these opinions and these creeds became later the foundation of the rejectionist Shia sect. Underline this now. These foundations later developed into narrations and so forth, and attributed to the household of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam falsely, and that's why they commercialized it now amongst the general followers, especially amongst the non-Arabs. So they made all these narrations now go back to whom? To the household of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. While these foundations were laid down by whom? Even by their confession. I'm asking you. Even by their own confession. To Ibn Saba. To the Jew. Ibn Saba. But then they formulated that in form of narrations to whom goes all the way to Al al-Bayt, the household of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now, the third opinion. The third opinion states that the origin of Tashayya was in the year 37 after Hijrah. This is an opinion held by few, but also held by some Orientalists like Montgomery Watt, who attributed that the beginning of the movement of Shiism began on one of the days of the year 658 of the Christian era, corresponding to 37 after Hijrah. And that it seems that this links the beginning of Tashayya to the Battle of Siffin, which occurred in 37 between Ali and Muawiyah, and what occurred afterwards. However, this opinion does not in any way mean the beginning of the foundation of Shiism, because we don't find anything relevant to this year regarding the will or return of Ali, nor any of the foundations of the Shiism sect. Similarly, we know that the followers of Ali, we know that they are not on the sect of Shiism, or nor on any of its foundations which we know of now. And there was another element here to be mentioned, that the Saba'is sect played a role in igniting the fitna between Ali and Muawiyah, may Allah be pleased with both of them. The fourth opinion, and this is held by Strautmann, one of the Orientalists specialized in sects. He claims that Shiism began with the death of Al-Husayn, and he said that the blood of Al-Husayn constitutes the seed for Tashayya as a creed. So now, we related to you these four opinions, and before, the opinions held by the Shia. And we discussed that which was needed to be discussed. And in conclusion, Shia as a creed and theory did not originate suddenly. Rather, it took a period of time and stages. However, the early thoughts and creeds and foundations began on the hands of Abdullah bin Saba and his sect, as mentioned by many of the quote reliable references amongst the Shia themselves. We're not taking the words of Ahlul Sunnah on this, but Ahlul Sunnah are certainly in agreement that these creeds were laid down by those who intended to destroy Islam from within, Abdullah bin Saba and his sect in principle. He, Abdullah bin Saba, was the first to testify that Ali's imama is a fard, and that Ali is the one to lead the Khilafah as this was willed by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and that this is textually even stated for Ali to be the imam, which is called the creed of an-nas, the creed of the text. And this is the foundation of tashayya. Also, the books of the Shia told us that Ibn Saba and his group were the first to insult Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman, most close to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and also insult the others of the companions. And nowadays, this is the creed of the Shia concerning the companions, as it is registered in their reliable books. Similarly, Ibn Saba was the one who said that Ali will return, and this is also attested to by their books, by Al-Qummi, Al-Nubukhti, Al-Nashi Al-Akbar, and others, and from Ahl-Sunnah, Al-Ash'ari, and Al-Baghdadi, Al-Isfariini, and others. And we know, as we will learn later, when we talk about the creeds, that Al-Raj'a, which means the return, is from the foundations of the Shia. So you see now the linkage, and you see now the attachment to the creed of Abdullah bin Saba and what he incited. All these matters are from the foundations of the Shia, and it is affirmed in Sahih Bukhari, something which stands as a proof that the emergence of such creeds began early, and that Ali radiallahu anhu was asked about it, and he was asked, هل عندكم شيء مما ليس في القرآن ومما ليس عند الناس? Do you have something with you, O Ali, which is not in the Quran and not with the people? And he negated that categorically and decisively. These are some of the foundations held by the Shia. And so therefore we should pay attention that linking the origination of Tashayya to Abdullah bin Saba is in the Tashayya which involves these fundamental creeds. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu fought the Saba'is, and he even commanded them to be burned, those who claimed that he was divine. And concerning those who considered him preferable over Abi Bakr and Umar, it is narrated that he, Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, said, no one shall be brought to me who prefers me over Abi Bakr and Umar, except that I will inflict the legal punishment on him, the punishment on insult, as related in Minhaj al-Sunnah, Volume 1, pages 219 and 220. Now, what took place after that? was fertile ground for the emergence of these creeds. Meaning, what took place during the Battle of Siffin and the death of Ali and the death of Al-Hussein. All these occurrences led the hearts and emotions to be swayed to At-Tashayyu' li-Al al-Bayt, giving allegiance to the household. And through this gate, Tashayyu' became a means under this umbrella for everyone who wanted to destroy Islam. And thoughts and creeds which are foreign, wrapped up in the garment of Tashayyu', became easy to infiltrate. And the bid'ah with days increased. So we can say that these occurrences and incidences which occurred to the household of the Prophet ﷺ, from the killing of Ali and the killing of Hussein, etc., these are from the factors, influential factors, which led to the Tashayyu' li-Ahli al-Bayt, meaning to give allegiance to the household of the Prophet ﷺ and give an emotionally link to that because of what occurred to them. And this is the feeling of every Muslim. However, this was abused from the enemies of Islam who were watching and who infiltrated the ranks through this and led to the split in the Ummah. And through their plotting, they were able to achieve that which was not achieved by weapons. Others from different religions also conspire. And this is the same thing which still up till our times they play around. The emotions regarding the death of Ali and the death of Hassan and Hussein, and they build upon that. And this is their emotional gate for attracting Muslims to the dangerous creeds which come next. The creeds of the same as those of Abdullah bin Saba. This concludes the historical account or accounts regarding the origin of the rejectionist Shia. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, to save the Ummah from their deviation and from all deviations. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.